Hello and welcome to the Wine Appraiser Podcast, where we sip and tell and share affordable wine finds. I'm Dennis, the Wine Appraiser, and I'm here with my funny wife, Denise. Okay.
I must have been making a funny face. I don't know what I did.
You are always making funny faces.
Glad to be entertaining.
We're back in Portugal tonight.
Yes, we are. Two wines.
Yeah.
Not two wines.
Yeah. Two wines.
Okay.
You don't think a port is a wine?
Well, different kind of wine.
Okay. It is a different kind of wine.
Like a champagne. It's all in its own category
a little bit. It kind of is. Yeah. And it's just like champagne. They can't call it a port unless it comes from
that area.
Yeah.
So you can't call it a wine if it's a champagne. Can't call it a wine if it's a port.
So before we get started, though, we talked about it just a little bit last week.
Touched on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that we had gone to the Midwest Grape and Wine Institute, which is at Iowa State University. And we took a class there called the Intensive Tasting Proficiency Training.
Woo. Woo. We were trained.
Yeah.
I think I need a few more lessons.
Yeah, it was really good. They were correct, though. You do get a little tired of tasting after a day of it.
And a little bit, your nose kind of goes.
Oh, yeah. Too. Oh, yeah. Which that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I mean, you get burned out.
Mm-hmm.
Your nose, your sniffer. Yep.
Yes.
That was the one thing we learned, right? You call it your sniffer.
Yes. It can be desensitized.
Actually, they didn't say that at all.
No. We call it this.
We call it that. What's your takeaway from that class?
Oh, it was very good.
Day full of tasting, smelling, and trying to get different smells. Like we started out with like flavored waters,
mm-hmm.
and tried to
say which one had more sugars,
acids,
bitter, more acid,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely tannins.
So we did that. We did a section on faults.
Oh, the section on faults.
Woo. Yeah, there's some smelly, smelly faults.
Yes.
And so we just went through a lot of different tastings. So what was your takeaway? I'm sorry.
Oh, I had quite a few takeaways. To be a little bit more descriptive, my definition of smooth might not be the same as somebody else's definition of smooth. So I have to remember that maybe a good palate cleanser is celery. I did not know that.
I don't think we've ever tried that.
No, we even grated ones. That was a new experience.
Yep.
Like how you go about grating the wine.
So awesome. And I was going to say that one thing that I was amazed with, tasted together, kind of the Midwest wine grapes,
mm-hmm.
as well as some vinifera, the standard French wine grapes that we are used to drinking.
Right.
And those Iowa or Midwest wines, they stood up pretty good.
Yeah, those grape varietals, there's new like La Crescent. Yeah. What was some of the other ones? We tried La Crescent. Yeah,
there's Marquette.
Marquette. We had some.
La Crosse. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's a lot of them.
Yeah. We were trying those.
And that was something that she talked about that I hadn't really thought about. People have this conception of Midwest wines.
Being sweet.
And, well, sweet. And they just have a perception of they're not good. And basically, most of the wine grapes that are being produced and made into wine now are probably 20 years old or less.
And they're coming into their own?
And they just keep making them there. I mean, there's a lot of breeders out there. They're trying to make new wine grapes that produce good wines for these northern Midwest climates. And it's just a thing. They're doing a good job. So
yeah, great class.
Yeah. Before we get to Portugal tonight, though, thanks for listening. And if you want to learn more about wine, keep listening. And if you want to enjoy more without spending a fortune, which is something that we like to do, keep listening. That's what we're out there doing. We're trying to find really good wines
that aren't a fortune.
Now tonight we have kind of more of our more expensive wines, which is unusual for Portugal.
And what price range are you thinking or talking here?
I think we have, I think it was around $17 for the Kirkland Port, and then around $28 for this Tempranillo or Tinta Jerez.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is a little pricey, but it's still under the $30.
Yeah. And I don't know. We'll find out what you think. My first thought is that is pretty good wine, but we'll see. Okay. I did want to talk about last week. Yeah. Last week we talked about the Mime appraiser.
Oh my goodness. You have to bring him back.
Yeah. Well,
he's not very talkative.
You had the best line in the whole show.
Oh, I did.
Yeah. See, I don't hear a lot of this stuff while I'm trying to read stuff.
Usually you give me a
playing with the mixer. What are you doing all this kind of stuff. But you had the best line when I re-listened to it. You said, we did the mime appraiser, which was silence.
Right.
Because the mime can't talk.
Yes, I get it. I get it.
That might be a better show.
I do remember
saying that. So I did enjoy that. Okay, that's all I had. So let's get to Portugal. So last week we talked about Vinho Verde.
Correct.
The northern wine region in Portugal, which again means green or kind of immature almost. It's a greenish. I mean, they are picking those grapes really before they become ripe. And so they're very green, acidic type of wines. And tonight is going to be different. We have two reds, and we have one wine that is called Tinta Jerez.
Okay.
Which is Tempranillo.
Tempranillo, okay.
But in Portugal, they have different names for it. And that is actually only one of the names they have for Tempranillo. They have, depending upon the region it's produced in, they do have some other names for it. Tempranillo being a full-bodied red.
Definitely so full-bodied.
This one may be a little bit different than what we're used to, so I'm really interested to get into that. Then our other wine is a port wine, which a port wine comes from the Douro Valley in Portugal. Now, we've had wines from the Douro Valley in Spain. Well, the river keeps flowing east and goes right through Portugal out into the Atlantic Ocean, and it kind of empties into the Atlantic right in the city of Porto.
Porto.
Yeah. Okay. Second largest city in Portugal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I really hadn't even heard of it until I started looking up stuff for this show. But that's where Port got its name.
Mm-hmm.
So this area is known for being, you know, producing ports. And I read all this stuff about how England was having issues with certain other areas. I mean, this is hundreds of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So they're having issues kind of like, they're having
Everybody's ire up.
Yeah. So they're having trade wars, basically. And so they start looking for other regions to get wine from. Well, they go down to Portugal, and they said England obviously got along with Portugal. So they go to Portugal to get wine, and they start getting wine from Porto. One of the things that they did was they started putting extra alcohol in the wine, kind of as a, it helped it stay good and age. And so that's kind of how it all started. So this is it's a fortified wine. And okay. Do you know what fortified?
It has a lot of alcohol.
Well, yeah.
20%
yeah.
on this port.
So fortified means that alcohol has been added to that. So the way they make a port is they go ahead and basically produce it the way they're going to produce a regular still wine. But about halfway through the fermentation, they pump in alcohol, usually a brandy, which is grape alcohol. Then it kills off the yeast. They stop fermentation. And because only half of that sugar was turned into alcohol, it becomes a high alcohol sweet wine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you're going to drink less of this port, right?
Yeah.
A smaller glass.
Yeah. So ports are basically for dessert or an after dinner drink. So a lot of people will kind of consider it as their dessert.
Mm-hmm. A nightcap.
Yeah, just a very small. Typically, you'll use a white wine glass. So a little bit smaller bowl glass. Okay, you know, you remember kind of what you'd drink a Chardonnay or a sparkling wine in.
Okay.
Okay, so a little bit smaller bowl, but something still good enough that you can get your nose in there and give it a sniff. So two types of port.
Okay. What are the two types?
The two types, you have a vintage port, which basically means maybe 2025 is a great year for port. Then it can become a vintage, and they will just use 25 grapes and make a port out of that grape. It's typically not aged that long where it still keeps its color. So if it's a It might be a red port, so they call it a ruby port.
Ooh, ruby port.
Yeah, a ruby port.
Will be a vintage port.
Typically, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just not aged that long, but it's a real high quality port, so they go ahead and just put it out as a vintage port. They said it probably only happens about 2 to 3 years out of 10.
Okay.
The other port, what we're drinking, is called a tawny port, which it's usually labeled as a 10-year tawny port or a 20-year tawny port, or can be even greater than that. They said you might even see like a 40-year tawny port.
Whoa. Someday we should taste the difference of the 10, 20, 40.
Well, it says, what I was reading is a 10-year tawny port doesn't mean the grapes are 10 years old.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really strange. They said it might only be a couple years.
Well, what? Oh, it's got to be under 10 years.
So they mix it. They mix it. It might have some 10-year-old port wine in there, but it's in the mix and such. But they said it might not even have any 10-year in there.
Okay.
So it's really kind of strange. I'm not sure.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they got that, but tawny means kind of a brown color, tan brown color, and it usually refers to a wine that's a red wine that's aged, lost its color, and so it becomes brown over the years.
Okay.
And a tawny is typically more smooth than, and there we go with
smooth.
Our smooth.
Yeah, what do you mean by smooth?
And by the way, I did see that talked about a lot in online things. They talked about it being smoother.
Do you mean balance the acid and the tannins?
I think what they're talking about is those tannins are just going to be rounder.
Mellowed out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, rounder, more mellow. They're not going to be as biting. I like the word biting because it seems a sharp, you know, you get those sharp tannins. Just kind
try
of
try it out your they, mouth and
well,
it's not going to do that.
And it really hits you. A smooth tannins. And I think this first Tempranillo, to me,
which
there's
is what is the
Tinta Roriz.
But we're drinking a Maya?
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
But I think there's a lot of tannins on there, but it is smooth to me. So anyway.
It's mellow tannins.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay.
So anyway, a tawny, though, is just a little bit smoother, they say. Yeah, it's just not supposed to be as maybe as flavorful as the vintage port.
Okay.
So the most common grape variety in port, used in port, is the Torrigal Nacional.
And that is?
It's a big grape in Portugal.
Okay.
And I know we've had it once before. And it is actually, Denise is doing her research right here.
Okay.
And it is the main grape variety used in ports. And we've had one. They said it is becoming much more popular as a single varietal wine. And I know we've had one, and I was not expecting much, and we loved it.
Mm-hmm.
We really like that wine.
So I'm interested to try this.
Yeah.
20 Porto.
Okay. I think that's it. Let's get to our tasting. And
first wine.
The first thing we want to do, though, is go through our ratings.
Okay, go ahead.
One, terrible.
Two, not the best.
Yeah.
We'll drink our glass, but we're not going to ask for another glass.
Yep.
Or we're not going to shop for that wine.
Yep. Three is good.
Three is good.
It's not bad. We'll see. If it's an expensive wine, a three is not going to be a repurchase. But if it's a less expensive wine, three is a good drinkable wine.
Mm-hmm.
Four.
Oh, that's. I'm going to look for that.
Yeah.
I'm going to recommend that. I'm going to take that to my friend's house.
Yep. And a five. Denise won't share.
I like it so well, I might not share.
Yep. Okay. So let's get to this first wine. Our first wine we are drinking tonight is a 2019 Armiguera Tinta Jerez. And I can't roll my R, so.
That's the best we can do.
Yeah. And it's called Mia. Yeah. M-I-A.
And it looks like I have leopard prints all over the label.
Yeah. I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's a leopard. It's got spots on it. It's some animal. It's got spots, but then it's got a striped tail.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. I don't know what that is. So let's talk about the wine.
Let's do the color of the wine. And we should use the color chart. Wine of colors. I would say this is a...
From Wine Folly.
Deep purple.
Okay. You go with deep purple.
I do go with deep purple.
And
I'm sticking to it.
I go more with a medium or deep ruby, personally.
Okay. I'm doing deep purple.
Okay. But it's pretty dark.
Very dark.
And it's pretty heavy body. Not too bad, though. It's no.
No, the alcohol
kind of medium body, actually.
I think is around 11% on this one.
Yeah. Okay. And what do you...
Oh, the smell. Now, that is something I took away from the class. You got to get your nose in there. I think I was too polite of a sniffer after the class. I realized you just got to get your nose right in the glass.
Yeah, I've always done that, but we've been to classes before where they say, don't stick your nose in. You'll burn it out. You want to just kind of wave the glass over, you know.
That's more of what I've been used to.
Yeah. But
they advise to
do whatever
just get
you want it.
Right in there.
Do whatever you want to do. That's my...
You do.
But
get,
what do you get on the nose here?
I get... The first thing is, this is not fruit forward to me. This is more of the spices, the little meatiness. That's what I'm taking away. Not very fruit forward.
No.
It's buried in there, the fruit, with all these other... Yeah.
There might be a little meatiness to it.
A little meatiness, a lot of, I'd say, dry rose, pepper.
Mm. Yeah, the thing I get, it just, we called it barnyard in my class. I would say it's kind of old leather.
Yeah.
And I love a stinky wine, personally.
Pastrami or something like that. I get a summer sausage. That's what I always call these.
If you like a stinky wine, like I do, this is a... really nice wine.
It's just earthy. Very earthy.
Mm-hmm. And I probably didn't like that when I first started drinking wine, but I've really gotten to love it.
But it's not like a Shiraz. Yeah. It's more blended in with so many other earthy smells. Mm-hmm. It's not all summer sausage.
And what I've found is this type of wine, it just goes with food. Incredibly well.
Okay, so did you take a sip?
I have taken a sip.
Okay.
And I really don't get fruitiness on the nose, but when I take a sip, you do get cherry.
Yes, on your finish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to me, this reminds me a lot of probably a Chianti. To me, it's got a lot of leather, smelly, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, it's got a heavier fruit. But then
it's got a cherry.
Almost like a dried fruit kind of concentration. A little bit of tannins on the finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I said, it dries out my mouth a little bit, but it is smooth to me where I don't get any bite or bitterness from the tannins, but
no,
you can tell they're there.
A nice blend of a lot of flavors and a lot of smells. Mm-hmm. It's pretty complex, really.
Yeah.
But then the alcohol being less, I like that because you're getting more flavor, I think. Mm-hmm. Even though they say alcohol brings out the flavor, I think this is very...
And this is
11.5%.
11.5. Which is pretty low.
And I noticed that difference.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Okay. So this was purchased from Wine Styles for about $28, which, again, that's towards our upper end. But I really...
It's towards your upper end.
Yeah. I really like this. This is... really good to me.
So you're probably giving this a 5, or are you giving this a 4? I'm giving this a 4.
A very strong 4.
Yeah, Mia is good.
I would probably be, I'll probably stay a 4 because...
A Mia Portugal wine, we're giving this a 4. Write it down. We don't give them any 4s.
Yeah, and this is a strong 4 to me.
Mm-hmm. You might even bump it to a 5.
This is certified organic and suitable for vegans. So according to the website.
Oh, another plus.
So they don't use any animal products
no chemicals either.
In the stuff. Vivino says the wine is earthy.
It is earthy.
Yeah. Very, very earthy.
You're getting that fruit.
Juicy cherry. I didn't read this. So we got those. Mm-hmm. I don't know what boysenberry tastes like.
Boysenberry pie. It's got a little bit of that. Little tartness.
Okay. And you said you got you got a little bit of bitterness to it.
I did get a little bitterness, like a shard taste, just on the finish.
Okay.
A little bit of
raspberry, slightly grippy. Yeah, and I think that's what they're saying, that tannin comes out at the end. The grapes are lightly pressed, which limits extraction, so... And so it is a little bit less color, and you also get a little bit lower alcohol, I believe.
That explains it.
Only grapes from his own estate. So this is an estate wine.
Yes, and did you see how old this estate was?
This is done in stainless steel, and they don't use any SO2.
SO2. Okay.
Sulfur dioxide. Mm-hmm. A lot of them put in sulfur dioxide. This one does not at all, it says. So,
yeah, all done naturally. Yeah, because on the label, it specifically said grape production and cellar work is all done naturally with no intervention or synthetic chemicals.
Yeah. Okay. So that's good. Mm-hmm. And it's 100% Tinto.
Of course.
Yeah. It's, I really like this, and I'm really interested to have some food with it.
And the vineyard's been in existence in 1526. That's some history. I'd like to go there sometime.
It's bright.
Because I like history in the wines, too. Yeah,
for a Tempranillo, it's brighter than I would typically expect. But I think that's because of the stainless. And so, okay.
Well, I'm definitely going to finish my glass and pour another tonight.
Okay, so let's go to our port.
Okay.
This is going to be a little bit different. So, on the color chart...
And this is a Kirkland, right? Kirkland?
Yes. It's a Kirkland Tawny Porto 10-year-old. And if we go to the Tawny, which is like a brown, tan color on the chart, to me, this goes up to a deep Tawny. This still has a lot of red in it.
It does have red, so I'm almost putting it at a medium garnet.
Yeah. And it is close, but it does have a lot more of the brown tint to it. Mm-hmm. So Whichever. Not really that important. Only the only thing to say is I don't think it's been aged super long because it's not that brownish, tawny actual color. There's a lot of red yet to it. So, okay. What do you get on the nose on this one?
Oh, boy.
Ooh, alcohol.
Yes.
Wow. I hadn't smelled this because I didn't. See, now this will burn your nose.
This has a raspberry, I would say.
It's a really warm sensation, though.
Brown, right? Sugary kind of fruit. Mm. Fig.
Vanilla, to
fig,
me.
Fig, vanilla.
Yeah, and it tastes, or it smells like a kind of a fruity vanilla almost. And brown sugar. Did you say brown sugar? Yeah.
Brown sugar. Sweet, kind of. Mm-hmm. Definitely don't have to stick your nose in this. You can smell this mm-hmm. without putting your nose in there. You almost don't want to put your nose in there.
I have really come to enjoy ports, and I mean, it's sweet.
It tastes sweet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's sweet. It could be a dessert. I think it would go well with a dessert.
I get a lot of caramel in my mouth.
I was going to say, I think it'd go well with a caramel.
I get a lot of caramel.
But yeah, it does taste like a caramel.
Mm-hmm. It does taste caramely.
Mm-hmm.
And plum. Very plum, sugar plum.
Which caramel goes good with chocolates. And mm-hmm. So I think any kind of dessert like that is going to be...
Definitely the vanilla.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is the 10-year-old Kirkland Tonti Porto, purchased, of course, at Costco for $16.99.
And you almost automatically, when you drink this Porto, you're taking small sips versus... The other, I find that interesting. Just by instinct, you're taking a small sip because of the strength of the smell, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not going to be chugging this down.
No, but I mean, you do it almost naturally. Yeah. So I find that interesting.
I think, it's just such a big...
It's a big, powerful, fruity...
I think it probably is instinctive. You're just going to sip that.
Instinctive. That's what I'm saying. And I just think that's, you know.
So the reverse wine snob says aromas of prunes, raisins, orange zest, caramel, toffee.
Definitely caramel. Toffee.
Some nutty notes, some bourbon. Yeah, I'd say bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
And a good bit of heat. Yeah, you can smell that. Tastes silky smooth. Yeah, it is. It is smoother than it smells, I think.
It is smooth.
Yeah. Sweet and fruity.
Mm-hmm.
With raisiny fruit notes.
Yeah, I get that raisiny.
More caramel. We both got that. Toffee, nutty notes. Recommends a buy.
It is good.
Pair with rich desserts.
I could not tell you, though, if it's a super good port, because I have not experienced enough ports.
I think
so. We had another one,
I know, that I thought was probably a little better than this, but this is good. I mean.
Yeah. So as for saying, would I buy it to put with one of my desserts? Yes.
Yeah.
So I would say a 3. I don't know beyond a 3 because I don't have enough experience with port.
A little disappointed with the smell because I smell it.
The alcohol.
Yeah, and it mm-hmm. almost it's, burns your nose.
It's strong.
It's strong. The flavor, I think, is good. Mm-hmm. I think the flavor is a 4, but the smell, to me, is not as good.
Do you let this breathe, maybe?
Maybe. And they do say a port will last maybe even a couple months after you open the bottle.
The alcohol's going to kill everything.
Yeah. So, and just a couple things. We talked about the glass you want to drink it in. Temperature wise, they talked a tawny port actually in the upper 50s, low 60s is pretty good for a tawny port. So, room temperature chilled just a little tiny bit from a cool room temperature.
Mm hmm.
Okay, so you're going to 3. I'm going to 3 on it. Yeah, I wouldn't have any problems drinking it, but Yeah, I think there's probably better out there. Okay.
Tell us what you think.
I think
if you listen to the show, tell me what you think of a dessert that you would put with that.
Yeah. What are we doing next week? I don't think
Why don't you tell me what you're doing
next week? I don't know. I didn't write it down. We'll have to figure that out.
Oh, it's a surprise show.
Yeah.
Mystery show.
Oh, there we go.
Ooh, stay tuned.
Yep, it's a mystery show next week.
Okay, Watson.
We'll have to find out what we're,
you're no sure
what we're doing. I didn't write it down. I don't know. Okay. So with that, until next time, happy wine trails to you until we taste again.
Bye, everyone.
On the next episode of the Wine Appraiser Podcast. Bye.